Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm so excited for this episode as I get to introduce my new co-host on the Social Media Church Podcast, Nick Runyon. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
It's a pleasure. I am really excited to be here and be a part of this. Thanks.
Yeah, this is a big deal for this podcast. I want to take a look back at the history of this podcast. I want for you guys to get to know Nick, and then we're going to make some predictions for 2018 while also sharing a little direction for where we're going with this podcast. So as I look back to this podcast, I was actually the second guest on the Social Media Church Podcast about 5 years ago when I was a social media pastor at Community Bible Church. And DJ Chuang started the podcast, and he wanted this to be a conversation for church leaders about social media, and in particular, online church and the trends that were happening in the church around that topic. Things have changed a lot in 5 years, and I remember having dinner at Jay Cranda's house about 3 years ago with DJ. DJ saying, you know, I'm ready to hand the reins over to the podcast to Nils, and Jay saying, hey, I want to be a part of that. And we brainstormed the future of the podcast there in Jay's living room over a steak, eating red meat together. And then about, 3 months ago or so, Nick Runyon and I were at Museum of the Bible, started a conversation about this podcast and where I saw it going. And we just said, let's do this together. And so it was a very exciting conversation for me. And I'm most excited for you because of what I think that this will mean for this podcast moving forward. So Nick, if you would share a little bit about your background, and then I want to share why it is I'm so excited about working with you.
Yeah. Happy to do that. First, I just want to say, like, one of the things that really captured my imagination was when you were saying, hey, look, this was given to me. And now, like, yeah, just come in. And was very unexpected, but I love that whole, pay it forward kind of approach that you and DJ and Jay have had to this. And I know you guys have listened to you, have been on here a couple of times. I'm super excited about what's ahead of us. And just a little bit about my background. I mean, I've done a lot of different things, but I would say that above all, I'm kind of like a marketer, I guess, in like the broadest sense. So I went to school for a degree in business systems administration, which I think is a totally different name now, but it's like computer science and business put together, which was great at the time because I graduated in 2002. So when I started that program, people were rolling out of school and making, you know, $80,000, $90,000 out in Silicon Valley as a brand new graduate. And I'm like, sign me up. That's what, you know, and I'd done a little like computer stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
But the bubble burst. And so in 2002, the market was flooded. There were no jobs for me. So I went to be a ski instructor in Montana. Nice. And I think my parents were like, what are you doing with your life? It was awesome. I skied 80 days that year. I loved it.
That's awesome.
Fell in love with Montana. And actually, when my wife and I got married shortly after, we were like, hey, let's go back out there and see if we can make a go of it. And so with about $500 and 30 days before we were broke, we moved back to Bozeman, and I got a job with a great startup there that ended up doing a lot of things in the dot-com space that were pretty new and innovative at the time. And unbeknownst to me, I was on like this ride of my life type of thing. You know, it was just so much experience in such a short amount of time. And including moving into digital marketing, and that company at one point in time we were 1% of Google's annual revenue with our AdWords spend, and Google's much bigger now, and I think that number would be a lot bigger to be 1% of Google. But really cut my teeth like in internet marketing, taking a metric based approach to customer acquisition costs, and rolled out of there, went to work for an organization out of the Bay Area, kind of taking those skills and putting them to use to reach people with the gospel. A group called Global Media Outreach, which I love and am still today thrilled to have been a part of. and really got some fun experience, like pioneering mobile advertising and doing some digital marketing on, you know, social media and mobile, right, when all that stuff was starting to take off. And had another conversation, another like Google benchmark. I was at the Chelsea office in New York, and one of their mobile VPs came up to me and was like, "Hey, I just want you to know, right now you guys are about 98% of our served mobile ad inventory in the continent of Africa." And I was like, "That's incredible. That's awesome that like an organization sharing the gospel could have such a huge footprint."
Wow.
Yeah. So that was really fun. And, now today I lead a team here in McKinney where we try to build tools that share the gospel with people and connect people to the church, which is where we've kind of come into contact. And
yeah. Well, awesome. Well, if you could, Nick, share a little bit about what it is specifically that you're doing, what your role is at CV, and what your team is working on.
Yeah. So I'm the executive director at CV North America. And we really started a couple of years ago from this position of saying, if we wanted to reach people with the gospel, and then the end goal being to see them grow in their faith and discipleship and be connected into a local church, what would we do? How would we kind of rethink that whole process today? And what we came up with is now really kind of encapsulated in this program we call CV Outreach. And so what CV Outreach is we help churches, first of all, become aware, if they're not, that they likely qualify for a Google grant. And so Google has this thing called Google for Nonprofits. We've got a good relationship with Google and with TechSoup, the company that validates nonprofit status for Google. Yeah. And we help churches get signed up for those things. And if it just ends there, it's a huge benefit because TechSoup and Google offer all of these free tools to churches because they're nonprofit status, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So we let people know about that, get them signed up for it. But specifically, we help them take advantage of a Google AdWords grant. So Google will give a qualifying nonprofit $10,000 a month in free advertising spend. And most churches, even if they do know about it, don't take advantage of this because they don't have a marketing team. They don't know, or actually they don't know how to do it. Sometimes they do have a marketing team,
right. And
the Google AdWords grant is kind of a different animal. And it just, we found that it gets abandoned by marketing teams because you can't really leverage it the way that you would think you could in order to take full advantage of $10,000 a month. And that's part of the, honestly, that's kind of what we found about the grant program is that it's like a coupon. You ever seen those shows on TV where people go to the grocery store and they like, they get all their groceries for the month on only coupons and like the grocery store pays them $30.
Right.
I feel like we're like the super couponers of church advertising.
Couponing on behalf of the church.
That's right.
Yeah.
Except here's the thing, like we do all the work. So we help with the application. We build the ad campaigns. Yep. We manage the ad campaigns. We build landing pages that get put on the church's website.
Yep.
But we don't market the church. This is the turn. What we do is we help the church intersect conversations that are happening by the hundreds of thousands in search bars all over the country all day long. So 100,000 people a month search for what is the meaning of life. Yep. There's 290,000 people a month that search for issues of like loneliness and self-worth and things like this. What we do is we use these ad campaigns to speak truth into those moments and allow people an opportunity to begin to engage with the church. So it starts by when they click on this ad, they see a gospel presentation, and we've got super partners and high quality content that we put on these pages, and it's all on the church's website.
Yep.
And then the call to action is to just engage in conversation. And so we make that a connection into a pastor in the church.
Yep.
And this year we've seen 7 million people visit church websites across 400 different church partners. We've seen over 40,000 people connected to local church pastors.
Yep.
And I think it's super exciting because, you know, people who might never knock on the door of a church, walk into church, intersect, you know, their lives might not intersect with a pastor.
Yep.
I think people still understand that, like, call it a pastor, call it a man of the cloth, call it my priest, and I'm going to confession. Like, it's like that Godfather moment. Like, even everybody in pop culture seen the Godfather movies, and they've seen Don Corleone go to confession, you know. Like, there's something about that. Like, I just want to talk with a pastor.
Yeah.
And people will open up. And we're seeing and hearing some incredible stories come out of this that's really touching and tells us that, yes, people are being touched by the gospel and they're being connected into the church directly. So this is a service that we provide all free of charge. It's all for the church, because our mission is to accomplish those things, and we just as soon do it with our church brothers and sisters around the world.
I love it. I love it. And I have very publicly been your biggest advocate out of your biggest, but I love it. And this is something, you know, I remember at Community Bible Church finding the Google grant probably 2 months after they opened it up to religious organizations, and like kind of feeling like, is this too good to be true? And then testing it. And it really became our number one way that people found onlinechurch.com is through that Google grant. And then saying every church needs to be doing this and no church is doing it. When I was telling them, hey, it's $10,000 a month of free advertising. I started Searchable Church out of that. That's how you and I connected at a random meeting in New York. And then kind of said, hey, we should talk about the Searchable Church thing. And then you took it and took it to the next level and then some. And just it's incredible to see how you're serving the church. While I love the work you're doing at CV and the interesting different things you're doing, it has been the conversations that you and I have had out of that initial conversation of technology, social media, marketing, communications, and at the core of it, how can these things that we're so passionate about, what we're most passionate about is the gospel and mission, gospel-centered mission, and how does all of that intersect and overlap? So you and I have gotten to have a lot of offline conversations. We've had a lot of online conversations, a lot of private and a lot of, and a few public conversations about that. And at the core of this is we want to take those conversations and share them with more people. And then where you and I got so excited too is we're both networked in different places. Some of these conversations that have often been private and didn't have to be private, we just didn't have a platform to share them from. We're basically saying, let's bring those in. You know, let's bring in some of these private, more of these private conversations, sharing them with church leaders and helping them to grow and get better and transform the way they do ministry. Because at the end of the day, we see it in technology and social media. Amazon is changing the way we buy groceries. Apple has changed the way that we listen to music. Facebook has changed the way that we communicate and interact. These technologies are changing everything about what we do, including even the way technology is changing the church. So we've had PushPay on here a couple of times, what they're doing with online giving transactions, how giving is changing within the church, what Right Now Media is doing from a discipleship perspective. There are interesting new technologies that are developing, but it's not done and it's really only beginning. And so how we can continue to further that conversation. And so adding you as a co-host of this podcast is so thrilling to me about what conversations will lie ahead and your unique expertise and understanding coming into the conversation is so exciting to me.
Well, man, I love being here. I love talking with you. I love that we can take some of these backroom conversations and just bring other people into it. We were talking earlier about value, and the thing that you get, Nils, that I love is that you understand value and value propositions and what's valuable to people. Yep. And how to like move that ball down the field. So you mentioned searchable.church. Yep. And I would be remiss to not mention this. Like, you and I were having this conversation about this idea. So I was bouncing CV outreach off of you, and you're like, oh, I run this thing called searchable.church where it's like an agency and we do that for churches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know, that's why I wanted to talk to you about this. And you're like, why don't you just take that and run with it? And I'm like, what? Are you serious? You know, like, it's not every day that somebody just gives you a project. And the same thing, I swear I didn't do this on purpose, but we were talking about like podcasting. Hey, I'm thinking about, you know, a couple ideas. Hey, why don't you just co-host with me? You know? So, but the point is, it's like, you understand value. And like, if we can bring value into a conversation and help understand what it is that your customer values and how to deliver that.
Yeah.
I had a boss who used to say, like, we define success as our customers define success. Success for us is as you define it.
Yep.
And that's not selling out. That's like matching missions.
Yep.
And I think that's a really powerful thing.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you even brought up the term value, and that my goal for this, DJ's goal for this podcast was to bring value to church leaders around social media and the conversations that need to be had to push this conversation forward. When this podcast has won is not when our listeners were up. When this podcast has won is when I hear stories and somebody say, hey, we got on CV Irish because we heard about that on the podcast, and now we're reaching this, you know, many people each week, or somebody that said, hey, we tried Messenger bots because I listened to that podcast, and now we're doing Messenger bots. When I hear that someone took action because of something they heard on this podcast, that it turned into practical ministry application, that's when we have added value to those listening. And so adding you to this conversation is going to add more value. And I think the other thing I want to communicate to church leaders out of this conversation and our relationship is you and I are busy. Like we have plenty of stuff to do. And this has been a podcast I've gotten to own myself. And you didn't need to do this with me, but what we both knew is that if we did this together, it was not a 1+1=2. This is a 1+1=3 situation, by kind of joining forces, we get to do so much more. And so we get to add that much more value to those listening. And I think so many churches and ministry leaders that try to do things independently just miss the opportunity of connection. Yeah. And that's what CV has done through CV Outreach too, is, man, every church can do this by themselves, but when you do it collectively and we share this resource together, what we can do together is so much more than we can do independently. So it's really exciting. Let's talk practically about where this podcast is going, because one of the shifts that we're making is a shift to format. And so one of the things that we're adding is you and I will be on the podcast every week. We'll be processing through different topics, but we're going to bring in a lot more more interviews to the podcast. We're going to bring in a variety of leaders. And so we're not going to reveal who all of those leaders are, but we're going to bring in different folks from the tech industry, from business and from ministry, and really bring in and from entertainment and kind of bring in these leaders into this conversation. And then we're going to process that. And every conversation is going to be tied back to practical application. And we want church leaders to act. And so we want to give clear, definitive understanding and action that you can take after every podcast and apply it to your ministry setting, whatever that might be. Nick, anything you want to add to where we're going?
Yeah, well, I'd just say as we go, come with us. And so like keep listening, of course, subscribe to the podcast, but also like Nils was saying before, like value requires a feedback loop. So like, and it's great when people message on Facebook or like follow the Facebook page. We check the messages personally, you know, it's like, we'll hit those things. We want to hear stories of success, stories of failure. Hey, I tried that thing that you guys were talking about and it totally bombed and I lost my job. Tell me, you know, and hopefully that will never happen, but, let's engage, you know, it's a two-way conversation, not just between Nils and I, but between all those listening as well. And a lot of great stuff has come out of that I've seen, you know, over the last, even the last year or two. So I'm excited about those things in the year to come.
Yeah, there's there's so many different situations where I've talked to people that listen to this podcast. I remember being at NRB in Orlando last year. I don't even know what NRB stands with, to be honest, but it's a conference.
National Religious Broadcasting.
National Religious Broadcasting Conference. And literally a guy walks by and is like, hey, I recognize that voice. I didn't realize he was talking about me. And he's like, I listened to your podcast. It was such a cool moment. Somebody that listened, heard my voice, and then wanted to come and chat about the podcast and what his favorite episode had been recently. On this episode, though, we want to add value practically. One of the things we have done historically on this podcast is make predictions. Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk about our predictions for 2018. Before we do that, though, I want to look at some of the highlights on social media and technology that I saw from 2017. And so I'm going to just run over these really quickly. We saw the explosion of Messenger and Instagram. And so the family of apps on Facebook continues to crush. I've said it before, and I'll continue to say it. I think Facebook has won social media, and Instagram and Messenger are a part of the family of apps on Facebook, and they're continuing to crush. We saw augmented reality making a big push through Snapchat filters, Instagram filters, Facebook camera. I think that we're just on the verge that we'll get into 2018, though.
We saw VR, too, like kind of pop up in there. My whole thought is like VR requires too much gear over AR. Where are you on that?
So I have two thoughts. I would kind of feel like VR has not moved as quickly as I anticipate. I thought 2017 was mm-hmm. going to be a massive year for VR. It was not. It was progression of VR. But it is still not nearly as mainstream as I would expect it to be. Because Facebook is still so bullish on it, I'm going to say that it's still a part of the future. But I'm with you. I'm starting to second guess my, if those that have listened to this podcast for a while know that I've been all in on VR for like 2 years. And I would have thought at this point, having experienced it probably 4 years ago, I would have thought VR would be in every home by now. It is such a cool experience if you've experienced true VR, but it's not there. It was not a massive year for VR this year as well.
Yeah. I think it might be too scary. Ready Player One kind of reinforces that dystopian, like everybody's disconnected. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. It'll be interesting.
I think it will be huge. And for those that have really experienced VR, now there's still some things like with nausea, with the headset that people have an issue with. But when you go into a virtual world, it is an all consuming, I'm just so like, and I just think about it even from a gospel opportunity, like telling the gospel through VR of a place where just like the creation story told in VR. Mm. Like I would love to see the creation story told in like a 10-minute creation story in VR, like animated, just powerful, I think. So it is. Online courses was another trend in 2017. It wasn't here in 2016, but it seemed like there was a course for anything and everything in 2017. Chatbots exploded. We talked about that quite a bit here on the podcast, but chatbots seemed like they were everywhere, or you were starting to hear about them everywhere. And then the Internet of Things, especially Amazon's Echo with Alexa, exploded in 2017. So that was a big trend.
I think I would add Facebook groups to that list too, and which we're kind of cycling in the Facebook world. But to your point, like Facebook is the internet now, like it's the front door to the internet.
Yes.
And Facebook groups are fascinating. How many groups are you in?
I'm probably in 100, a ton.
I know. I mean, I think last time I counted, I was over 30.
Yeah.
And it's everything from, you know, like marketing tips and tricks to my brother's trying to talk me into taking a motorcycle trip in Vietnam, and I found a Facebook group where you can buy and sell motorcycles in Ho Chi Minh. So it's like there's everything there. It's fascinating.
That's a great point. And that Facebook groups are not new, but the adoption of Facebook groups, and honestly, Facebook didn't do anything different with Facebook groups in 2017 than they had before. Just people adopted them in a different way. And it's the maturing of social media is really what's happening, and the maturing of Facebook and how people are using it. Unbelievable. Great point on Facebook groups. Okay. Let's move to predictions. This is the more wide open space that's open for conversation. I do expect Kenny Jang to attack me publicly on the internet around predictions, but here's my first prediction. Instagram will continue to explode in 2018. This isn't a massive prediction, but what I think we're seeing is is kind of what happened with moms infiltrating Facebook about 3 years ago. I think moms are going to now infiltrate Instagram in a more significant way, and it will become a mass platform. So that's my predictions that Instagram.
Your follower list must be way different than mine, because I got a lot of mom posts on my
Instagram
on my search window now. Yeah, it's a lot of kids. It's a lot of Christmas, you know, photos.
Yep. And I say moms, I'm thinking like teenagers, moms, not like moms with like young kids. Mm. But you're right. I mean, it is definitely becoming a mom platform. I boxed Instagram too much in the past. I thought Instagram was an artist platform. I thought it was just for visuals, for people that like photographs and videos. It is maturing into so much more than that. It is still such a visual platform, and I feel like Instagram stories are surpassing Instagram posts. I don't know what that will look like in 2018. I just think that overall attention is moving more and more to Instagram, and I don't see that slowing down in 2018. If anything, I see that only speeding up.
I got a piggyback Instagram prediction for you.
Okay.
A trend in 2017 is brands figured out Instagram.
Okay.
And there are tons of brands that are doing this really well. I like Iron and Resin. I think that's like a little boutique motorcycle shop thing in California. It's really good. They do a good job. I'll just leave it at that. Buying through Instagram is going to increase. I think you're going to see a massive monetization of your Instagram following. It's not like huge in terms of numbers of people, I think, that are buying there, but it's your core base that per customer, they're spending a lot of dollars per purchase, and a lot of like the lifetime value of an Instagram customer is really, really high.
Interesting.
I think that's what we're going to see more of in 2018.
Huh. It's good. It's a good prediction. Good prediction. Mm. All right. So my other prediction, is around YouTube. Also not a crazy prediction, but I believe that YouTube will legitimately, I'd say replace TV, but it will be a place that people are more just going, people are going to browse YouTube in a more natural way. Like they used to flip channels on television, and literally just say, you know what, I'm going to kill time. I'm going to go to YouTube for 30 minutes. Where right now people go to YouTube as a search engine and they go and say, I'm looking for this video and I'm going to go and find it. But I think people are going to subscribe to channels more. There's going to be more of a, almost like a traditional television watching experience within YouTube. So that's my prediction on YouTube, is that it will more legitimately replace the TV. And even what they're doing with YouTube TV is tied to that, to that engagement. Nick, you have a prediction around the Google Home and Alexa.
Oh, yeah. So 2018, Internet, or 17, Internet of Things trend definitely took off. Yep. And you can, like, connect everything. Now, Alexa, I think, has been leading. You've done a ton of work on Alexa, building Alexa skills, things like that. I think Google's going to take over Alexa, because we've become comfortable with talking to, you know, AI and in our home and comfortable with something always listening to us. Yep. Now, when I ask it a question, an absurd random question, I expect an answer. And Alexa's not giving me those answers. The Google Home, I bought one and I'm testing it because I was like really curious about this.
Yep.
It's much better. And my kid, I have a friend that talks about like the 14-year-old girl changes the world. Like whatever she's into is what everybody will be into in 5 years. Yep. Like my kids and their middle school friends are in my living room and they're asking some insane stuff, really funny things. Yes. Google always gives an answer.
Interesting.
And I think that's going to win people over. So we'll see. My prediction is Google Home kind of takes over there. I've got another one. If you haven't, seen HQ Trivia, an app on your phone. I love this thing. And actually, as we're recording right now, I just missed question number one, which just means I'm eliminated because I wasn't paying attention. But this is a live experience app where you can play trivia I'm looking at it right now. There's 551,000 people playing live on this app. I got a guy
right now.
Right now, who is, well, wow. You know, this is, you'll be listening to this recording later, so it's not right now. But this app, you launch it, a guy pops up. It's a live video feed. You got a commentator. He's directing in real time. 500,000 people in this 12-question trivia game. There's real money on the line. Not only is it incredibly entertaining, I think it's one of the first, like, groundbreaking app concepts that I've seen in a while. You're mixing in this element of social, like, community and live entertainment. Yep. In a way that's really engaging. And you're playing for $2,000 and you split the pot. You know, by question 12, among 500,000 people, my brother won the other night and he got $5.
Yeah.
So it's like the novelty is really cool. But I think you're going to see more of this. This is a really interesting, like, I guess you see this a little bit in some of these news apps, you know.
Yeah.
But pushing live content streams into an app experience, I think we're going to see more of in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love that prediction. I've got a question. Beck, you are a parent of kids. We just got, cause you talked about the 14-year-old girls and what they're into. We've got an 8-year-old in the house. We have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. We got our kids on Facebook for Kids. Are you familiar with Facebook for Kids?
Yep.
Are your kids on Facebook for Kids, or what's the line you're drawing on?
Nope. About twice a week, I come home and I tell my kids about either a conversation I had or an article I read about the dangers of smartphones. And they're like, "Dad, quit reading that stuff," because they all want a phone, you know.
That's funny. So I gave my daughter, she claims it is hers, my old iPhone 6. So we got her Messenger Kids, and it blew me away. On day one, she can only interact with family members. So you can really control and monitor everything. She does video conferencing. She knew how to do that. She's doing video conferencing with her cousins. They're doing AR filters on with each other. She's texting GIFs, you know, to my mom. It's crazy how natural an 8-year-old. And I was like, does my 5-year-old know how to do it? Well, she knew how to do the filters. My 5-year-old doesn't know how to read or write yet. Yeah. I didn't even realize it yet. She's still able to communicate on iPhone through video conferencing and the other technologies within the app. It's going to be crazy to think what this looks like for kids in the future and how natural it is. And to your point with we love Alexa in our house. Mm-hmm. We have not adopted Google into our house yet. But they play games with Alexa. Yeah. They play, every morning my daughter comes in, they turn on the lights with Alexa. She is a family member in our house. She's probably the most productive family member in our house.
The cheapest.
But it's crazy. She tells us the weather. She tells us everything we need to know for a day. And then she plays an animal game with our kids. It is unbelievable. But what I think the behaviors that our kids are kind of learning out of that, it's going to really be interesting to see how these technologies all integrate into our everyday lives at every age stage level of our kids.
I'm not afraid of technology, but I'm not like a crazy everything's wired in my home either. Like, I recognize my own inability to draw lines.
Yes.
So actually one of the things that I wanted to buy for my wife and I, but I really couldn't find one that I really liked, is like a docking station.
Yeah,
but more than like for the charging benefit, just to say and show to our kids, like, look, technology goes here when I walk in the door, and I'm off. Yep. Like, because they were telling me they were like, "What do you do on your phone all the time? Are you like, you know, playing games or whatever?" I was like, "I'm working," you know. So like, home is safe. I'm gonna put my work away. That's why. I mean, I've been hesitant to like let my kids dive into some of this stuff because I know I'm just creating something that I have to take away, you know, and I just don't, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
We're there, man.
I saw your daughter's 360 selfie from Central Park a couple weeks ago, which I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm I hate to say I'm gambling with my kids. Like we don't know as parents, we don't know what are the right balances. Naturally, we don't let them watch TV. Even on school nights, we rarely let them watch TV at all. We minimize certain amounts of screen time, but when I saw Facebook or Messenger for Kids was out, I was like, you know, I want my daughter on there experimenting with it. We do VR regularly in our house. And even trying to, my 8-year-old has a GoPro, where we're trying to teach her filmmaking. So they are very connected. And then on the other side is we are digital everything. And I hate to say we do our best to do nothing. Like we were talking about this before, Amazon has changed our lives. We have a grocery store literally across the street from our house. I dread going to it. I've gone to it once or twice because I don't want the inconvenience of having to walk across the street to go to a grocery store.
Yeah.
Because Amazon will actually deliver it to my door. And that's way less convenient than walking across the street. The convenience factor of technology at every layer of delivery of food, of, you know, paying online, you know, at church. I can't remember, you know, writing a check for something.
Yeah.
And so the convenience factor of technology and integrating it into just about every aspect of our lives is just seems natural.
Well, we're back to value, you know, it's like, and that's the thing, the best tech delivers just insane value. Yeah. And I get that, you know, I don't believe that my kids are going to be left in the dust by not, like your 5-year-old knows how to use face filters. So does mine. Yeah. And if I delay that phone a few more years, now we've got GoPros in the house, you know, we're messing around on the computer all the time. Like they're always into like tech stuff.
Yeah.
They showed me some stuff on Xbox the other day that I didn't know like existed, all of the, some of the gaming downloads and different stuff that I just hadn't paid attention to. They're already like the ability to consume, understand and utilize this stuff is, you're right, it's baked in. Like they are digital natives. How about this? If you wanted to get real like risky on predictions, maybe let's put a poll up on the Facebook page and say, now this might be too much. I was going to say, we can make predictions about Neil's kids versus my kids in the next year. Yeah, like who thinks that Neil's kids are going to excel and beat my kids? Now, we did get our kids together recently, and I loved that they hung out and all got along really well. So I wouldn't want to hurt that.
Oh, and I will tell you, my 8-year-old, it is all about winning. So I've been very passionate about there are no participation awards in our house. But like I'm seeing already a downside of like everything is now a competition with my 8-year-old. And she went to a birthday party with kids at her school the other day. She was upset that she won second place. You know, she was like, "Dad, I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. I got second place. I won the first game, but I got second place in the other." And so my kids are good. I'm going to just say it. I know they're going to have issues and I push them, in certain scenarios, but I do think that would be a good Facebook poll. Cause my kids would take your kids down. It's all I'm saying.
Among this audience, I think it would skew that way. I love your daughter, and she was pitching me on business ideas earlier before this recording, which I thought was fascinating. She's there inventing and looking for funding for her new ideas. I'm going to invest.
She is not hesitant to ask her funding for her latest business initiative. It's so much fun. Well, dude, I'm so pumped about 2018. I'm pumped about this podcast. I'm pumped about social media. Social media is going to change. There are things that we cannot even dream of that are going to happen this next year. Who would have thought in 2017 that Instagram would have copied Snapchat and totally changed the trajectory of those experiences? Who could have predicted 360 video and certain things that have happened in that space? Messenger bots. I didn't even know what a bot was a year ago. I think, you know, I spend probably 25% of my time talking about bots and messenger bots. The future will be interesting, exciting, and Nick, it's going to be fun to lead this conversation alongside of you.
I'm happy to be here, man. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening. If you would subscribe to the podcast, we will be taking a break next week as we ramp up to our new series. So be looking for us in January, middle of January, as we release our next podcast in our new format. And we're so excited about all that is ahead.